This is the first time I'm wearing these glasses. I bought them 4 or 5 months ago in Kurdistan, and $50 for a bifocal. That ain't bad, eh? Anyway, good morning, saints. It's good to be with you again today. And I'm just thankful to be here sharing with you. And shortly after I'm done, Denise is going to come up and give a presentation. And my sharing won't be too long today, but it's going to be concise, pretty quick. But what I wanted to say is what I'm about to share is from my own personal spiritual struggle and journey with Yahweh, Jehovah, with Jesus. And I hope that some of you can identify with my struggles. And I hope it's an encouragement to you. Today's message is for those of us who have been praying for a long time and we're still waiting for an answer. Could be a family member, could be a friend, a healing, a ministry calling. You want to fill in the blank? You've been waiting a long time for the Lord to answer your prayer, and you still haven't heard yet. When you're tired of praying, it's important to remember that your weariness is valid and shared by others. In other words, you're not alone. Many years I worked for the persecuted church, the voice of the martyrs, and the number one thing that those being persecuted were encouraged by was the fact that they weren't suffering alone. And you're not alone, and you're with the Lord not answering your prayers to this point. Shortly, I'm going to share a very inspiring testimony of a praying mother who prayed for her son for a long time. I'm certain her testimony will inspire all of us not to give up praying and bring her requests before the Lord's throne. I'm going to go to Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. Now he, Jesus, was telling him a parable to show that all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. This is a key phrase here in this message. In a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, "Give me legal protection from my opponent." For a while he was unwilling, but afterwards he said to himself, "Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them?" Question mark. "I tell you the truth, he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" So really, this is a matter of faith. Hanging in there with the Lord, beseeching the throne, knocking on him, knocking on the door of his throne. Our Lord Jesus said we should pray and not lose heart. We should pray and not lose heart. What does it mean to lose heart? An outline of biblical usage describes it like this: to be utterly spiritless, to be wearied out. I found that interesting, wearied out and exhausted. Strong's definition, ekakeo, I think if Jim was here, I don't know, he might correct me on that, but ekakeo. It says to be weak, to fail in heart, to faint, to be weary. And my question is this you, or has this been you? There are times we feel like God is not answering our prayers. We have prayed and prayed, still no answer. So we are tempted to give up. Have you ever been tempted to give up? I know I have. We've got a child. Nisi prays and prays. Sometimes I say, honey, that's on you. I can't do it no more. I'm weary. Like I say, I'm sharing out of my own experiences in prayer with the Lord. It seems like the Lord is speaking to us about prayer. I heard Jim give a message about prayer, last week? And just that message about prayer. And then Bill's message on encouraging us to, you know, to stay in discipleship and to grow and be in prayer. There's this theme of prayer going on, and I wasn't aware of that. In Luke 11, Jesus talks about a man who is in need of bread. So he goes to his friend late at night asking for 3 loaves of bread. His friend was already in bed trying to sleep. The sleepy fellow said, "Go away. Don't bother me. The door is shut and my children are in bed. I cannot give you anything." In verse 8 of Luke 11, Jesus says, "I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs." Maybe he got more than 3 loaves. "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open." We must understand as a disciple of Jesus, we will be engaged in spiritual warfare, and that testings of our faith are a normal part of our spiritual life. Testings of our faith. You know, sometimes in meeting different Christians, people say, "Is the Lord testing me?" And I have to look at them and say, "Brother, sister, the Lord is testing us all the time. We are going through tests. We are going through trials. This is the normal Christian life. No matter how we feel or don't see answers to our prayers, we can never give up. Imagine if a soldier in a battle suddenly declares, "I give up." He's on the battlefield in Vietnam or wherever he is, and he drops his gun and he just says, "I give up." What's going to happen to that guy? It won't be long, and he's going to be either in the prisoner camp or he's going to be laying there dead on the field. And that's what happens. That can happen to us spiritually if we give up. We can just die and, you know, just grow cold. And the message is don't give up. It's a very simple thing. Keep seeking the Lord. The testings of the Lord. We also understand that the Lord tests us. Jeremiah 20 says, "Yet, O Lord of hosts, you who test the righteous, who see the mind and the heart, let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have set forth my cause." So in this verse it says the Lord tests the mind and the heart of his people. In Proverbs 17:3 it says, "The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts." In Gordon Wright's booklet, Spiritual Warfare, Gordon states that we are engaged in spiritual warfare against the devil and demonic spirits. So not only are we being tested by Yahweh, but we're also confronting the devil and demonic spirits in our warfare. So at all sides, at any given time, we can be being tested by the Lord or going through spiritual warfare with demonic spirits. He lists three things that will give us victory. One is the blood of the Lamb. Two, the word of their testimony. And three, they did not love their lives unto death. Revelation, I didn't mark the verse, but you've heard this. What I'd like to do is focus on the second one, the word of their testimony. Many years ago, when I was still married to Kathy, I think this is about 35 years ago, Kathy had many, many, many medical issues during our married life. And one of the times we were in Marquette General Hospital up in northern Michigan, and in those days they shared beds with patients. So we were in that room with another older woman in that hospital room. I don't know if they still do that. Maybe they do. I don't know. Yeah, they do. Anyway, while I was sitting there one evening with her, I was listening to this older woman in the other bed. And every time a nurse came into the room, she would say, "I love you. Jesus loves you. I'm so thankful for you." And she would just be like pouring the love of God on these nurses. And every time a new nurse would come in, "I love you. Jesus loves you." After a while, I said, "Man, I got to meet this woman." So I went over there and I said, "Hello, dear," or whatever I said to her. And I said, "I can't help but notice how you're treating the nurses and the people coming into this room and just being so kind and sharing the love of Jesus with them." And she said, "Oh, yes, I love Jesus so much." And I said, "Well, how are you doing?" And she said, "Fine." And I said, "Do you have family?" And she says, "Well, I had a son. And this son, he was in the choir. And he was a beautiful boy, and he could sing like an angel. And I just loved that boy. And then all of a sudden, one day, he walked away from the Lord Jesus." I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that." And I said to her, "Well, ma'am, how long did you pray?" And she said, "Well, he's back to the Lord now, and he's serving the Lord, and he's on fire for Jesus." And I said, "Well, how long did you pray?" She goes, "27 years. 27 years she prayed for that boy. And I thought, man. A couple weeks later, a city about 100 miles from where I lived, there was a brother there. He said, Brother Ray and Kathy, come to the church with us and fellowship, and we'll get together. So we drove about 100 miles. We went to that church meeting. And after that church meeting, it was a Pentecostal church, and the pastor was fiery, Pastor Kalenda. And he always gave an altar call, and people would come, and they would pray at the altar. And there was this one guy on the altar, I noticed him, and he was just worshiping the Lord and hands raised in the air, and he was like he was on fire. And I said, man, that guy's really got a hold of the Lord at the altar. So after the church meeting, my friend Joel, he says, Brother Ray and Kathy, why don't you come to lunch with us at the local diner? I said, well, that would be great. Yeah, we'd love that. So we get to the local diner, and the place was packed. And there was no place for us to sit that didn't have somebody sitting there. And I looked in the corner, and there was the guy who was at the altar sitting alone. And he saw us, and he said, hey, come on over here, sit with me. So we went over there, and we sat with him, and we talked with each other, and, just got acquainted. And I said, hey, I noticed you were at the altar, and, man, it looks like you really just love the Lord. And he said, yes, I really do. Then he said this. He said, you know, I wouldn't have known the Lord, but I had a praying mama. And she prayed me back into the kingdom. I said, wow, that's fantastic. You have a mama like that. He goes, yeah. Last month she was up in Marquette, at Marquette General, having surgery. And I said, son, I met your praying mama. And it was such a powerful encounter that the Lord would have us experience the hospital, then later to experience the boy she prayed for 27 years. Now, if that wasn't a divine God setup, I don't know what is. I've carried that testimony in my bosom for years and years, and I often said, Lord, why did you allow me to experience this woman's testimony? And so all these years later, here I am standing before my church, my beloved brothers and sisters, sharing how the testimony of a mother who prayed. And listen, spiritual warfare, do you think that mama was just like, oh, dear Jesus? I'm sure she was day and night with the love in her heart to see that boy come back to faith. And she said, Jesus, Lord God, bind the devil in his life. Draw my boy back to you. Years and years she prayed. And you know this scripture where it says, and the Lord will answer quickly. And man, I struggle with that because that wasn't a quick answer. And Nisi and I were talking about this verse about a week ago and discussing, what about the quickly? And she said, well, she says, you know, she prayed for a lot of years, but when God's time was at its full, the answer came like that. And it wasn't any more struggle. He was there, he answered, and it was done. But it's not until God's time that he releases those prayers on that person. And like Jim Garrett says, with a drug-addicted child, until the Lord flips the switch. And you've heard him say this, that you can pray and pray, and the Lord hears that prayer, But it's until God's time when he hits that switch on that child or that lost person or whoever it is, then the Lord will answer quickly. During times of testing, what are we to do? Jude 20 reads, "But you, beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Wait anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life." And so, build yourselves up in the most holy faith. Have you learned how to do that? We need to learn how to do that. Some of us have learned fellowship is important. The prayer band is important. Praying in the Holy Ghost is important. All of these things that we do over and over again as being a disciple of Jesus keeps us in connection with the Lord. And then remembering that it won't be long and we will be in the presence of Jesus Christ for eternity. The resurrection of the dead. When my first wife died, all I could hang on to was the fact that I know that she will be resurrected from the dead and live eternally with our Father and the saints. Great comfort. So let's keep that in the forefront, brothers and sisters. It won't be long, and many of us will be there. Some of you will have to wait a little while, but many of us, it won't be long, and we'll be in the presence of our loving Savior. Somebody said, "Well, that's a good place. That's a better place." I'd have to argue with that. That's not a, when you die and go to heaven, that's, well, he's in a better place. That's not a better place. That is the only place. That is what we struggle for, we hope for, we dream about, is being in the presence of Jesus Christ for eternity. Let's put aside the notion it's a better place. It's all we've ever hoped and dreamed for as followers of Yeshua. Honey, it's your time to come up here.